We will hear from you now. It's the Blue Jays talk at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays offense has come around. The pitching, not so much, as they get outscored over the last two games by a score of 18-11. Make that 16-11. Lose them both. And are now 3-3 on this homestand with three games to go. One more against the Orioles, and they need to win to get a split of the series. We are going to Blue Jays talk it up across the country to the bottom of the hour, and we will keep it on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, until 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We begin with Tom in Ajax. Tom, you're going to lead things off on the Blue Jays talk. Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike. I wanted to talk to you about the ovation that R.A. Dickey got when he came out of the game, I think in the seventh inning.
Honestly, I didn't really notice.
I was watching it on TV, and it seemed like he got a pretty good round of applause, which to me is disappointing. I think the people at the game should realize that he's the reason they lost the game. He's supposed to be a Cy Young 20-game winner, and he stunk.
He had a bad first inning.
Well, that's stinking, Mike. I mean, he's 38 years old. He's been in the game long enough, and he's been a disappointment all year. This is not a guy who's 6-1 or 7-2 coming in this game and had a bad first inning. I'm not saying roll up on a guy because he had a bad game. He's had numerous bad games, and, I mean, he's supposed to be the number one guy. We traded two blue-chip prospects to the Mets to get him, and in my mind, he's a total disappointment. He was 41-50 in his career before that 20-win season with the Mets, and that looks like the guy the Blue Jays have. And I'm just saying, shame on the Blue Jays fans that were at the game today that obviously don't know anything about baseball and chose to applaud a subpar performance, another one, by R.A. Dickey.
Okay.
Thanks.
I couldn't disagree with you anymore, but all right. That's fine with me. I think R.A. Dickey's been booed enough this year for non-subpar performances. And anyone, honestly, you want to say the Blue Jays fans who applauded him don't know anything about baseball, I'm going to say that anyone who references R.A. Dickey's one-loss record for his career going into last season doesn't know a thing about what they're looking at. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Derek is in London. Derek, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Oh, hi, Mike. Good afternoon. I wonder if you'd indulge me with just a straightforward question. If you were in a position to pick a third baseman sitting today and you had the choice of Machado or Lourie, who would you pick?
I think you'd pick Manny Machado, and I think anybody else in baseball would pick Manny Machado, and that's why Manny Machado went where he did in the draft, third overall, and Brett Lourie went where he did in the draft, which was, I think, 14th or 11th or something like that.
So am I a victim then? Like, I often hear the TV broadcast team and the radio broadcast team, they certainly shout a lot about what Brett Lourie can do. It's a little more subdued when he makes the mistakes or he does something that's kind of childish like he did yesterday.
I don't think he did anything childish yesterday.
Well, I believe he did, and I'm just getting a little tired of it. I think he's been around long enough now, and with the situation ran into either last season or the season before when the helmet was thrown.
Last season.
Haven't we seen enough of that?
Yeah, and I don't think we're ever going to see it again. And we didn't see it yesterday. I don't know what you were watching.
Well, he threw the helmet, even though he had his back to him and he dropped it back behind him. I don't know what his expectations or what he expected to get out of the umpire yesterday, but I'm just growing tired of it, and I wish the guy would grow up.
Okay, he's 23 years old. He's very high strung. I don't think we all understand that. There's no question about it. But that's what you get from a 23-year-old Brett Lourie. I don't think that's what you're going to get from a 25-year-old Brett Lourie. And I think too that if you actually, you know, if you put your frustration aside for a second and don't allow it to blind you to what actually happened yesterday, you will see that what happened yesterday was nothing like what happened last year with the helmet-throwing incident with the umpire, which is why there's, you know, not even been even the hint of a mention of a suspension, which there shouldn't be, and that you would see that Brett Laurie has grown up quite a bit since last year, just not all the way yet, but he's 23. Sorry not to agree with you, but I just don't think you're right. Jay is in Kingston. Jay, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome aboard.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I think one of the reasons why we lost this game is it's a 5-3 game, and this is where I think managers do make a difference. I don't understand why R.A. Dickey, he's got over 100 pitches. Why is he coming out to pitch the seventh inning when he struggled pretty much the whole game?
He hadn't struggled pretty much the whole game, and that's why he came back out. He retired the side in order in the fifth and sixth, 23 pitches overall. He'd set down seven guys in a row. He was in a groove. He was doing fine. There was no reason not to send him out for the seventh inning.
Yeah, but Adam Jones hit the ball off him so hard even the last time before. If it wasn't for
He retired him the two times before that. And again, after Adam Jones hit that ball out, he got in six in a row, and then he got two ground balls, easy ground balls, to start the seventh inning. Look, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but there was no reason not to send Dickey out there.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like to me, I'm going to talk a little bit about R.A. Dickey. I don't want to splash on this guy, but when we got him in the offseason, I think everybody was excited, and it just seems like to me every time he starts against any opponent in our division, if you take Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Boston, New York, it just seems like they're just hammering him. He just hasn't had a strong outing against these teams. And this is going to cost us because we got to play these teams 18 times a year. It's okay if he struggles against the Detroit Tigers or the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim or the San Diego Padres, but I'm sorry, like, this guy's been a big disappointment. I hope, I mean, he's pitched a few okay games that I've seen. I've seen pretty much all of his starts, but
obviously, he hasn't been paying much attention.
If he's going to have an ERA of 4.78 at the end of the year, and if he can pull out 10, 15 wins, that's not going to be good enough for us. We need that ERA to go down. That's all I wanted to say.
Two starts against the Tampa Bay Rays, he's allowed four earned runs in 14 innings. One start against the New York Yankees, he gave up three runs in seven innings. And he lost 4-3 to Baltimore in a second inning in which he gave up all four of those runs and didn't have a single ball hit hard against him. He got hammered by the Red Sox, absolutely. And you could say he got beat up by the Baltimore Orioles today. But your entire thesis about R.A. Dickey against the American League East does not stand up to factual scrutiny. Sorry. I mean, see, this is where I understand why people think I disagree with everybody. But when you call up and your entire point is based on something that's not true, I'm going to disagree with you. Because it's not true. It's not true that R.A. Dickey gets beat up every time he pitches against the American League East. He has very good numbers against Tampa Bay. He had a good start against the New York Yankees the only time he's faced them. And he got killed by the Red Sox. And today the Orioles beat him up. It makes things so much easier. Even if you're frustrated and even if you're upset and even if you're angry, and there's every reason for all those things, because nobody expected the Blue Jays to be 20-29, and it's a rotten start to the season. But you're only going to make yourself angrier when you add things to your frustration that just aren't so to make yourself even madder. We'll take some more of your calls on the other side, but right now let's give a listen to the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of today's 6-5 loss to the Orioles.
Gibby, it seems like Dickie's still looking to find his rhythm out there.
Well, you know. Early in the game, Costin, where they bunched those runs together, you know, three in the first there. And you look at some of the games that he has struggled. I mean, they put some runs up on the board early, and then he finds his groove. And in the same way today, you know, of course, he gave up the solo home run late. But other than that, in the middle innings, he was very good. So, we made a run at it. It just came up short. I think we've out-hit him the last two Jays, but the key is to outscore him. You know, we didn't do that, so.
Yeah, you had a. It seemed like you had. We're looking for big hits all afternoon. You got a few in the eighth inning, and but other than that, you left a lot of guys on base.
Yeah, I mean that's the way to go. You know, yeah, because we did. I think what are we 13, 14 hits maybe on the day. Yeah, and yeah, we couldn't come up with that big one. That big one, the gap, maybe the big home run. You know, to put a few up on the board. You know, so but we battled. The guys keep competing. You know, we just. Came up one short again.
Hit?
No. I thought I saw it hit on the line, but you know, the first base umpire, he got twisted, so he did the right thing to ask the other guys. And in the, you know, the home plate umpire definitely got blocked out, you know, because the way the guys are moving. But you know, we appreciate them asking. You know, I don't know. Did you see it?
I looked at just foul.
Okay, so they got it right, yeah. But you know, we just appreciate them asking. That's the right thing to do.
For RA, what do you think contributed specifically to the first inning struggles today?
You know, it's really hard to say, you know, with that particular pitch that he throws. You know, you can look at other guys, more conventional guys, and say, well, they're hanging their slider, their fastball's up or whatever, falling behind. You know, knuckleball's totally different. You know, sometimes maybe it doesn't break as much. But I know one thing, you know, they got a good hitting club. You know, one of the best in baseball. There's no secret why they're a good team. You know, you look at it and they got baseball players, man. They got guys that just compete, you know. But they swing it, and they're really, you know, they're never really out of a game with their offense because they hit home runs. Who knows? I really can't answer that.
So there's John Gibbons. He can't explain why R.A. Dickey struggled in the first inning. Well, R.A. Dickey probably can't explain it, but the Orioles scored 3 on the way to a 6-5 win over the Blue Jays. More of your phone calls on the other side on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Right now, take a break, wrap things up across the network. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network.
3-1 Orioles, one out, Blue Jays second inning. Emilio hits one deep to right field. Back for Nick Markakis. He looks up. There she goes. Home run, Emilio Bonifacio, his second. And the Blue Jays come to within one, trailing Baltimore 3-2.
Emilio Bonifacio goes deep in the second inning. That cut the Blue Jays' deficit to 1, but Danny Valencia would hit a 2-out, 2-run homer in the top of the third to make it 5-2. And the Orioles never trail. They never trailed at all in this game. The Blue Jays fall 6-5. They've got 30 hits in their last two games, do the Blue Jays, but they've got 2 losses. And they'll need Chad Jenkins to come up big to earn a split of this series. The Jays right now are 3-3 on this 9-game road trip that wraps up on Tuesday with a 2nd of 2 against the Atlanta Braves. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk, taking your phone calls right up till 5 o'clock here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And let's get right to it. Susan is in Woodbridge listening, well, because we're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Susan.
Hello. I have 2 points, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to be positive. I know that's not
the trend. Oh, really? I don't know. That kind of runs counter to everything we try to do here on the Blue Jays Talk.
I know. Well, I just figured somebody has to offer up the counterpoint. But my issue is that we have season tickets, and I see such a distinct change in how they're playing ball compared to how the beginning of the season was. It's far more entertaining. They're certainly in most games, unless, you know, we've had a few blowouts. But the bottom line is that, you know, you want it to be entertaining. Sure, I want them to win. Obviously, that's the goal. But at least there's a change in the way they're playing ball. And I love the interview that, I guess it was in the newspaper the other day, that R.A. Dickey came out and said, sure, they want to win. But the reality is that some of these players are under contract for a few years, and maybe they did think that this was just going to magically meld together and we would have a contending team. But, you know, after I read that, it seemed to say that, you know, obviously our expectations were far beyond reality. And so maybe this is what we have to do. Enjoy the process. The journey obviously is, you know, part of the plan. And, you know, would we love them to contend? Of course we want them to contend. But maybe that's not in the cards this year.
Yeah, but they should. That's the, and I think that's the problem. I don't think, well, I mean, it depends on what your expectations were to know whether expectations were wildly out of line. And I do think that a lot of people who've come back to baseball this year expected the Blue Jays to win about 100, 110 games and just go to the World Series without breaking a sweat. Those expectations were seriously out of line. But if you expected them to be in the playoff mix and probably be a playoff team, then I think those are realistic expectations. And unfortunately, they've had a crappy first 49 games of the season. But like mm-hmm. you said, they've really, I think, they've turned things around and started to play a lot better over the last 3 weeks.
Yes, exactly. And I wanted to know, I know you've said that Brett Laurie's 23 years old, and
yes.
obviously that, you know, that goes to a lot of the issue. But if it were up to you, what would you do to try to get him out of this slump he's in?
The only thing I would do is probably show him some video of what he was doing in 2011 when he came up in August and had such a great 7 weeks, a great quarter of a season, and try to get him back to there, try to get him to get deeper in at-bats and see more pitches and pick out the ones he likes and just kind of dial it down a little bit and see if that helps. But I think the only thing that's going to get Brett Laurie out of this is time. He's too good to continue hitting about 200.
And finally, we have obviously in the last year and a half become Pittsburgh Pirate fans because of Travis Snyder. And I have to tell you, to watch him, I guess, you know, he went through his ups and downs. But to see now, I guess because he's in the lineup consistently and he's usually in the two spot, I have to say that this is the person we knew. This is the player we thought he'd be with consistency. And, I mean, you know, obviously, I mean, we all thought that was who he was, but unfortunately the Jays didn't. We're a little myopic there. And I thought, you know, this was something, not that we could take a lesson from, but, I mean, you know, this gentleman would really help us, you know, greatly. He would be an asset in the lineup. But, I mean, obviously that's not to be. But nonetheless, do you think it was just that they gave him maybe just a little more time? Or what was it that turned him around?
Well, I still don't think he's who I thought he would be. Not yet, anyway. And he's having a terrible May. It's interesting that you'd bring that up now. I mean, he had a really good April.
He had a triple yesterday. Yeah, he had a triple.
Yeah, but he's hitting 220 in May. With a 260 on base.
Right.
I expected more from him. I hope that he's still going to wind up being that guy that I hoped he would be. Right now he's hitting 261, 726 OPS, two homers, which is nothing special at all. And honestly, he wouldn't be an asset right now for the Blue Jays because he's not outdoing Melky Cabrera or Jose Bautista or Adam Lind.
And those
are the three spots where he'd be. Right, if he was here. I mean, it's not like he'd be here playing second base. I love Travis Snyder, and I hope that he winds up being a great player. But I think for the Blue Jays, I mean, there's no question that they messed him up early, and the things that they did to him years ago really hurt his development. But, you know, he would have come to spring training this year out of options, really with no place on the team with Cabrera having been brought in. He would have been fighting Adam Lind for a DH job, and I don't know, you know, I don't know how they would have found room for him, and it's too bad because I think the real issue with Travis Snyder, the real time to take advantage of having this guy was 2009, 2010, and if they'd done that, and he turned into the guy that we all expected him to be, there'd be no getting him out of the lineup, and he'd be awesome right now. Instead, he has to still work his way back to awesomenity. And I hope he can do it with the Pittsburgh Pirates because I'm a big fan. I appreciate the call and the positivity. We will break here. More of your phone calls coming up after the 20 update from Kayla Harris, I believe, who's really good at those things. So you'll enjoy that, and then we'll enjoy a little bit more Blue Jays talk here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Jones muscles one to left field. He's done it again. That slams off the facing of the third deck here at the Rogers Center. And for Jones, his ninth home run. He's hit home runs in three straight games, and the Orioles go out in front 6-3 here in the seventh inning.
And that, as it turned out, was the run that the Orioles needed as they fended off the Blue Jays' two-run rally in the bottom of the eighth and held on for a 6-5 win. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk, and let's get right to it. Jeff in Pickering, welcome to the program.
Right on. Thanks, Mike, for taking my call. I just had a quick question for you. I just sort of wanted to get your opinion on J.P. Arencibia so far defensively with play calling with all these veteran starters. What role has he played? Can any of the rough start be put on him? What are your thoughts on J.P. so far?
My thoughts are that I'd love him to take a few more walks and strike out a little bit less. At the plate, behind the plate, I can't blame any of the pitcher's failings on J.P. Ricciardi. None. J.P. Arencibia, sorry, or J.P. Ricciardi for that matter. But I think, and I don't know why this is, but I think for some reason there's a tendency for people to want to blame the failings of others on something other than them.
You know?
R.A. Dickey's 38 years old. Mark Burley's in his 13th year in the major leagues. And Brandon Morrow is in his fourth year starting, and he's worked with Arencibia his whole career. I don't know why any of these guys would think that J.P. Arencibia has a better idea of how to work a ball game than they do. And with Dickey, too, right? It's 90% knuckleballs anyway.
That's the thing. I mean, all these guys have the option of shaking off pitches and things like that.
Absolutely.
So I just sort of want to get an idea of, like, just with flow, like with Burley, Dickey. Well, obviously, J.P. doesn't really catch Dickey anymore. But just sort of wanted to get the flow and how much, you know, does the catching position have an impact on the rhythm of these starters? And can any of it maybe be looked at him?
So it certainly can have an impact on their rhythm. And he's gotten crossed up a few times. He's not the best receiver in the world. And, you know, where Jose Molina turns a lot of balls into strikes, J.P.'s turned a few strikes into balls. And that certainly doesn't help. Mm-hmm. But I think that the rough start of Burley, who's turned it around, Dickey has nothing to do with J.P. because he's caught
him
once. I don't think you can blame Josh Johnson's failings on Arencibia or anything like that. I think people are looking for a reason to pick on J.P.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, the purpose of the call definitely wasn't to pick on J.P. because I'm certainly a big fan of J.P.'s, actually. But, I just sort of wanted a little bit more insight on his role, basically. So I think you pretty much cleared that up. And hopefully he can hit a few more homers and, get on base a little bit more and get some wins.
That'd be swell. Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Jeff. Andrew is in Toronto. Andrew, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, Mike. One quick point for you, Matt. How awesome is Brett Cecil? The guy that nobody's getting, he's not getting any attention this year, but he's so awesome. Like a sub-1 whip, no pressure on him. So, in your opinion, I just want to ask, is this the perfect time to ruin him and move him to the starting rotation?
Everybody wants to move Brett Cecil back into the starting rotation because he's doing so well. And actually, believe it or not, Cecil with the 4 up, 4 down today has now retired the last 10 hitters he's faced and 19 of the last 20. And most of them have been right-handed hitters, which, you know, we thought that his life was going to be as a loogie, a lefty one-out guy, but 13 of those 20 hitters have been right-handed, and Cecil has retired, again, 19 of the last 20 he's faced. So I think he's comfortable in the bullpen. He realizes he doesn't have to pace himself. He can just go out and start throwing immediately, and he's got that velocity back. I don't know why anyone would look at that and say, hey, let's put him back in the starting rotation where he struggled to throw 90.
Maybe it's the same people who think Dickey's terrible.
Could be. Probably is.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate the call. Brad in Barrie listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk. Hey, Brad. Brad's not there. Sorry, Brad. Try us again. That opens up a phone line at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays fall 6-5 to the Baltimore Orioles this afternoon, and now they will have to try for the split tomorrow with Chad Jenkins up against Miguel Gonzalez. Peter is in Montreal listening on Sportsnet 590.ca. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Mike. Big fan of Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you.
I had a question about Adam Lind. Kind of parallel question to Cecil and before Aroldis Chapman. He's been really succeeding against right-handed pitchers, right? Like, John Gibbons has really put him in a platform to succeed against right-handed pitching.
Yep.
In your view, do you see him as like a special right-handed pitching specialist, or at what point do you kind of experiment with maybe batting him against left-handed pitching and whatnot?
I don't. I really don't. I think that, one of the reasons for Adam's great success this year is the fact that he has been kept away from left-handers. He's only had 6 at-bats against left-handed pitching this year, and he does have a hit. But again, there are a lot of players in Major League Baseball who are a lot better against one side of the plate than the other, and the fact that they don't do well against a certain side drags their overall numbers down. And you know, even if Adam Lind has a good year hitting against lefties, you're probably looking at 240 with an on-base around 300 and not much power. I don't want that. I'd rather have Rajay Davis in there or...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I asked this question because Rajay's injured, right?
Yeah.
If Rajay's is back, obviously you split the two together, but because he's absent, do you kind of try to get more production out of him at the cost of his numbers, or do you just...
Well, if it's at the cost of his numbers, then you're not getting any more production out of him, right? Yeah. You're getting less production out of him. They don't face another lefty until Tuesday, and then not again until Thursday. And by then, Rajay might be back. He's eligible to come off the DL tomorrow, but he's not going to be. No, I'm fine with things going the way they are. You know, we're in the mid '80s. Were people calling for Ernie Witt and Rance Mullinix to play more against lefties? No, they didn't play against lefties, and they were very good hitters against righties, and that's how they got their job done. And I think Adam Lind has been put in a perfect spot, and he's doing a great job.
Thanks for the answer.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Blue Jays lose 6-5 to the Baltimore Orioles. Henry is in Toronto. Henry, you're next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
I would like to ask you a question because it seems to me that you – have a habit of not agreeing with a lot of the callers. My question to you is, what do you attribute past Blue Jays leaving our team and going to other teams and being successful, like the center fielder, like the first base, and so on and so on? And Hill, why is that they're successful now and they weren't successful enough for the Blue Jays when they were here?
I wish I knew. I don't know. Vernon Wells, unexplainable, because not only was he was reasonably successful for the Blue Jays in his last season. I think he hit 30 home runs and hit close to 300, if I remember correctly.
What about Overbay?
Overbay, you know what? I'll tell you this. If Overbay was a Blue Jay right now, people would be booing him. He's hitting 255. He has a 289 on base percentage.
I don't understand it.
I mean, if he was playing for the Blue Jays right now, people were saying Lyle Overbay's terrible. So
and
he hasn't experienced
Hill?
That resurgence.
What about Hill?
Is Aaron Hill still having a good year?
Aaron
Hill's a good hitter. And for some reason, and I don't know what it is, Aaron Hill got home run happy with the Blue Jays. He's only played 10 games this year for Arizona. He's been hurt for a while. So, you know, there would be complaints. But really the only guy is Vernon. And Vernon was, again, fine with the Blue Jays in his last year. He hit 280. He hit 30 home runs. He was absolutely deplorable with the Angels for 2 seasons. May have been the worst hitter in baseball.
That's right.
For
but he's very
hitters.
Successful now.
Right, but that was with the Angels. With the Blue Jays, he was fine. People didn't like him because he made too much money. But with the Yankees, he's having the exact same year with the New York Yankees right now as he had with the Blue Jays in 2010, which was his last year here. So
right. Well,
they traded him.
It's puzzling to me how they're so successful and they weren't happy here with him.
Well, they weren't happy with Vernon because he was making too much money. That's the only. If Vernon Wells had been making $7 million a season instead of $20 million a season, Blue Jays fans would have been thrilled with what he did. But it's funny, you know, we think, and I know you say I have a propensity to disagree, but again, it's because I deal in fact, and most fans deal in emotion. And like you said, off the top, the first thing you said was, why are they so successful when they weren't as successful here? And I'll tell you, Vernon Wells, in his final year with the Blue Jays, hit .273 with a .331 on base and a .515 slugging. Right now for the Yankees, he's hitting .278 with a .332 on base and a .491 slugging. So he's having almost the exact same year with New York as he had his last year with the Jays, and you're certainly not alone in thinking he's doing so much better with them than he ever did here. And he's not. Don is in St. John, New Brunswick. So someone from St. John who's not named Greg. Welcome aboard, Don.
Imagine. Good to talk to you, Mike. I'd like to encourage some of the fans. When I heard the first few callers today, I thought, my goodness, I've been so encouraged over the past 2 to 3 weeks by the way the Blue Jays have stayed in every game, whether it's been a win or lose, even last night's game and today's game. They're in the game until the bottom of the ninth inning, or the top of the ninth, at least, if they're on the road. And where I'm enjoying the games again. Earlier in the season, I wasn't, because it seemed as though if they got behind by 2 or 3 runs early in the game, that was it. But that's not it now. I mean, last night they were behind 3-0 at the top of the first. Same thing again this afternoon. And I keep watching, and they're digging back. They're digging back right to the very end. They didn't quite make it, but at least they're giving us an exciting game, and I think they're on the way. I don't know if we're going to make it to the playoffs. I hope we do, but I do think things have turned around. I don't know what you think.
No, I agree with you 100%. The games were the first 31 games of the season were very, very tough to watch for all the reasons that you outline. But they have turned around since then, and they so since then they're now 10-8. They had been 10-6 before these first two losses, but they're in the games. You don't get that sense that something is about to go wrong and it's going to destroy everything, and one little mistake leads to 5 runs, but they can't score one, so it's done. That's not happening anymore, and it is. The games have been a lot better than they were right up until the 4th of May when R.A. Dickey got lit up by the Mariners. Since then, the Blue Jays have been playing much, much, much better. And it's been a lot better to watch. Now, is it too late? It's certainly not too late. There are 113 games left. But they've got a really, really tough job ahead of them if they want to climb back into a race. They lost today 6-5 to the Orioles. This is the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We go out to Oshawa. Kathy, welcome aboard.
Thanks very much, Mike. I'm going to confess I don't know very much about baseball, but
okay.
I was just interested in knowing. Yesterday, for instance, the Jays had a young pitcher from the AA come up and pitch for them, and I'm just wondering, I've heard comments made that they can see the success rate from AA pitchers, perhaps even more so than those that go to AAA. And I'm just wondering, like when you look at hockey, for instance, it seems that you don't find the NHL hockey players coming directly from the OHL. They come through the American League. And I'm just wondering if you could make some comments about the AA pitchers versus AAA. And I'm going to hang up and listen to your remarks.
Thanks. Okay, sure. First of all, it's a big mistake to equate AA with junior hockey and AAA with the AHL. I mean, AAA, all right, it's okay to equate AAA with the AHL. But junior hockey, you know, the oldest players there are 20. And in AA, it doesn't work that way. Sean Nolan's a 23-year-old, in fact, who came up out of AA to make his major league debut. The thing that AAA has kind of become this area of, I don't want to say wasteland, but it's where guys who aren't quite good enough to play in the major leagues settle, whether they're on their way up and stuck or whether they're on their way down and can't get back. So in AAA, you've got guys like Jim Negrich, like Andy LaRoche, like Ryan Langerhans. You've got pitchers like Claudio Vargas and Dave Busch and Ramon Ortiz, I'm sure will be back there soon enough, and Justin Germano. Guys who are either on the way out or who were never good enough to stick. Double A is more of a place where prospects go, where guys who are on their way up towards the major leagues play. And there are a lot of them who just skip Triple A entirely. I think Manny Machado of the Orioles skipped Triple A entirely as well. And we saw Drew Hutchison do it. We saw Henderson Alvarez do it. We saw Sean Nolan do it. And Nolan may make his way up to Triple A for a stop before he gets back to the major leagues. But he may not. And I think that's just the way baseball is turning. And yeah, just checking, Machado did skip Triple A as well on his way to the big leagues. It's just they're there for different reasons. Thanks for the call. Thanks for all the calls. We'll do this again tomorrow. Blue Jays lose 6-5 to the Baltimore Orioles. Back at 12:30 for 107 First Pitch tomorrow. Chad Jenkins against Miguel Gonzalez. See you then.